Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hi, it's Nick. April showers bring Mayflowers, or at least a lot of doubleheaders. And it looks like Giancarlo and Buster are finally starting to bud. Speaking of buds, J-Up's growing like a weed. Can someone trim him, please? 90s DJ and Maine native, the Guru. Wait, hold up. There's a Guru from Maine? This better involve the lobster industry. I could really go for a lobster roll right now. Anyway, the Guru's going to pop in and tell us who he's jamming or cramming at the moment. The Big Biscuit JB will join us to talk about pitching. I'm starting to feel like pitchers are like the high-maintenance girls you dated in college. Does she have a good feel for the ball tonight? Yeah? Awesome. No? There goes your whip. And don't even think of marrying her, because soon she's going to run off with some dude named Tommy John anyway. We'll also touch on how easy it is to take money off Rudy and I on Friday nights with the play from Rudy from Razzball Contest over at DraftKings.com. And of course, you can always interact with the podcast by following me on Twitter at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. That is, if Rudy's back from his case of the sniffles and Gray's penicillin has taken care of the after effects of the Tijuana incident. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of April 29th. Here we go. And now I am pleased to be joined by the Big Biscuit, Mr. J.B. Gilpin. You can follow him on Twitter at J.B. Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. Hi, J.B., how are you?
I'm good. We're the only two that have normal person Twitter account names.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I don't want to get off track because we're going to talk starting pitchers with you. But I also just want to plug something for football. And I know this is a baseball podcast. We will be doing an NFL draft special, fantasy football post-draft special, which will be taping on Wednesday, which will be posted on Thursday on the football side, and you'll be joining us. So you don't want to miss that if you are a fan of fantasy football.
Yeah, it's an interesting draft. It'll be really exciting to break down.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's stick to baseball. Let's talk starting pitcher. Also, too, let me point this out. If you want to interact with someone, you know, you got start-sit issues, you got questions, someone who's on the pulse of the Twitterverse, talk to my man JB because he will get back to you. Keep in mind, he has a huge University of Michigan bias, but he knows his stuff and he will interact with you. So at JB Gilpin on Twitter. Let's talk starting pitchers. You wanted to talk about a guy, I don't know if you've put the post up yet or not, but Tony Cingrani from the Reds. Tell me what you think about him, JB.
I think he's fantastic. I've loved this guy since I didn't draft him in any leagues because you needed an injury to one of the Red starters, and they're all, besides maybe Latos, pretty injury-free. Then Cueto goes down, and Cingrani gets called up. I just wrote my pitcher profile on him. It'll be up by the time you're listening to this. And 11 strikeouts and 6 innings his last time out, only 2 hits, only 1 walk. That fastball just looks dominant. 96, he hit it up in that game. Just really, really good. I think he's obviously a must-add. I think he's a start no matter who he's pitching against.
I don't know where he's really available anymore, but do you think? Give me an idea of the type of numbers you think he might be able to post rest of season.
And see, that's going to be really tough because if Cueto comes back sooner rather than later, they might put Cingrani back in the minors and keep Leake in the rotation. I think everyone's hoping that it's Cingrani takes Leake's spot. So I'm going to go a little conservative because I think you might only get maybe 120 innings pitched, 9 wins, but you know, a 10.5 strikeouts per nine.
Is there any chance he sticks around when Cueto comes back, but maybe moves to the bullpen?
You know, I thought of that too, because it's a lot like Aroldis Chapman, a really good lefty power pitcher that gets high pitch counts. I hope they don't. I think there's a chance, but I'm going to err to the side that they'll probably keep him a starter, and if there's not a spot for him, they send him to the minors.
Okay, let's talk about another starting pitcher that you brought up in the preseason, and there aren't words to describe Gray's feelings about your thoughts that Ryan Dempster might be a sleeper this year. Talk to me about Ryan Dempster.
I mean, when I gave you my sleepers, I led with Matt Harvey. I mean, I'm nothing really to say there. He was a lot of people's sleeper pick, and he's been pitching well. But I'm actually more excited for the Ryan Dempster call, because you guys gave me such grief for it. And in 5 starts, 43 strikeouts and 30 innings. Yeah, he's given up 4 home runs. That's a little too much. But I think he's going to be in that high 3 ERA, win a good amount of games, and get a ton of strikeouts.
Okay, give me rest of season stats. Give me his full 2013 stats, in your opinion.
205 innings, 3.9 ERA, 185 strikeouts, 15 wins.
Okay. Now, when you do these posts, correct me if I'm wrong, but you actually sit there, watch a pitcher's entire start, and then make comments based on that one pitching performance.
I do, yeah. I started these because I don't feel like pitcher starts are broken down by the eye level very often. I think it's really easy to say, oh, this guy pitched 6 innings, struck out 10, and was dominant. But a lot of times, teams are hitting rockets off him and they're caught and he's just getting really lucky. Or, you know, a team like what happened in Hyunjin Ryu's last start, which I broke down last week, just a lot of first pitch hits. I thought his stuff looked great, so I'm not as concerned with his bad outing that he had last week. So I watch a starter, and I kind of live write while he pitches. So I'm breaking down every pitch, talking about its location, its speed. They can get a little dry sometimes, I admit that, but I think it's a unique look into a pitcher for fantasy that a lot of places don't offer.
I agree with that. Give me a couple of the other pitchers that you've already written up this year.
Well, my very first one was Jose Fernandez in his debut for the Marlins, and I got a lot of flack by saying I thought his mechanics looked a little off here and there. He was hanging a few too many pitches, and his last 2 starts have been pretty bad. You know, giving up 5 earned runs in 4 innings, and then 4 earned runs in 5 innings his last 2. Not striking guys out like a lot of people thought. I think he'll still be pretty good, but I think people were really overselling him. And the other guy I broke down, like I said before, was Roy Halladay in that 8-inning, 2-hit performance against the Marlins. I thought he was being, you know, sold short on a little bit. I think he's still going to be a serviceable pitcher, but obviously a bust if you had to draft him in the 7th round.
All right. Who else are you looking at possibly doing one of these write-ups on this year?
A lot of guys in mind. Hey, and if you read these pitcher profiles, I welcome recommendations for the next pitcher. I like to try to pick a guy that pitches over the weekend, so it's a topical breakdown when it comes out Monday morning. I might be breaking down Patrick Corbin. He's just looked incredible so far. Got another win last night. I think he could have some staying power, but I definitely don't think he's going to have an ERA or 2.
All right, JB, listen, I really appreciate you breaking down these pitcher profiles for us. Of course, you can find them on razzball.com. You can always follow my man and interact with my man, Big Biscuit, at JB Gilpin. JB, listen, I'm going to ask you for a favor right now.
All right.
We had our first no-show ever on the podcast.
Oh, no.
I kid you not. So I tell you what, let's wrap this up. And I want to bring you back for the next segment. We're going to do the Guru's Jam It or Cram It, starring JB Gilpin. How about that?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right. We'll talk to you in the next segment.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them at DraftKings on Twitter. Okay. So we've been running the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest on Friday nights now. And here's the beauty of it. It's almost impossible to not win your loot back. Seriously. More than half the people who enter have won their money back, so that's a great opportunity to get in there and give DraftKings a try. Plus, we've also had some big winners. And don't forget, the kind, kind people over at DraftKings have been giving our winners entries into some big money tournaments like the Spring Fling, which has qualifiers running until Friday, May 17th. And of course, the Chase for the Crown 2, which has over $5 million in play, which is just bananas. That's a lot of cake. Being the good little Canadian boy that I am, I had to get involved in a hockey playoff tournament. It's the only time I'll bring up hockey this whole podcast, I promise. So I've entered a Steps contest. Now, the way the Steps contest works is that it's a six-level series of contests with continually higher buy-ins, peaking with a huge cash prize at the last step. So the goal is to advance at each step by winning a ticket to the next level. So I just got in on one of the hockey playoff pools, which starts Wednesday night, and it was just $2 to get in, so that's the first step. Now, here's the cool thing, too. No need to worry about advancing on your first attempt, as contests also reward retry tickets, and contests at each step run every day. So if you're really impatient, you can simply buy in directly to any step so you don't have to start at the bottom. So you can't go wrong, can you? If you want to try and kick my ass in hockey, I'm in the First Steps tournament, which kicks off Wednesday night. I'll be under there as Podcast Kings, and I'm heavily invested in the New York Islanders Pittsburgh Penguins series, as well as the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are going to get their asses whooped by the Boston Bruins.
The Razzball Podcast.
And now we're back again with JB, who's filling in for the Guru. You know what? The Guru better be on a lobster boat in the Atlantic in bad weather right now, because this is the first time we've ever had a no-show on the Razzball Podcast. You know what? I need a red Sharpie, Kyle, because I got to write the Guru down somewhere in red Sharpie, because it's permanent. JB, thanks for filling in for the Jam It or Cram It segment. Let's get right into this. Of course, jamming is we're buying, cramming is we're selling. It's got kind of a 90s radio feel to it, which again, if we had the Guru here, it would roll real well. So JB, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to get all these right. Jam it. Did I get that right?
All right, Big Biscuit, let's go through some names, and we can do this fairly quick, but I definitely want to get an idea. Nate McClouth, who has been like an on-again, off-again, flighty ex-girlfriend, but right now he's hitting really well. Are you buying or selling? Are you jamming or cramming Nate McClouth?
There's a sentence I never thought I'd have asked to me, a very odd syntax. I guess I'm going to be cramming it. Fantasy hero of 2008, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, neither am I. To be honest, Nate McClouth is so far off my radar. I think he's on Pittsburgh, but I'm not sure.
No, he's on the Orioles, getting a little bit of that Orioles magic with, you know, reclamation projects like Chris Davis. 8 steals, he might get 25 steals if he plays the whole year, but he's going to hit like 5 home runs and hit 260, 270 is just a complete meh.
Oh, hold on. Kyle just gave me the red Sharpie. Let me put a little smiley face next to JB's name, at JB Gilpin. I told you he's reliable. Next on our list is Peter Borjos, the speedy center fielder. Are you buying or selling Mr. Borjos?
You know, I'll probably more jam it than cram it. The speed's there. If they keep him hitting first in front of Mike Trout and Albert Pujols, he could score 100 runs. I don't think he's going to hit more than 10 home runs, but yeah, he could hit 290. If he scores 100 runs and gets 20 steals, that's valuable.
I think he could give you what a lot of people thought Adam Eaton of the Arizona Diamondbacks might have been able to give you during the preseason.
Yeah, that's a good comp. Actually, yeah, I think that's a perfect comp. I think he has a chance to hit for a little higher average than Eaton would have. But other than that, yeah, about the same.
Every once in a while, even a blind dog finds a bone, JB.
That's true.
Okay, so we are buying Peter Borjos.
Yes, jamming it.
My favorite name in pro sports. Okay, we're jamming it. Let's keep it buy or sell. Because you know what? Unless you can do a cheesy radio announcer voice, we're going to keep it to just buy sell for today.
Yeah, I think I'm too type B to be one of those upbeat announcers. I really don't like Dick Vitale.
My favorite name in pro sports. Let's go through these last couple really quick. Are you buying or selling Coco Crisps? Hot start.
In a certain degree, I'm buying it that he'll be valuable, but I'm selling it that the pace he has right now will keep up. Obviously, he's not going to be a 20-40 guy, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but I think his career high in home runs is in the mid-teens. I think he'll be right around that, steal 30 bases, hit 280. He's going to be a really valuable player, but right now ranked number 9 on one site. I don't think he'll be in the top edge of the top 100 at all. I think if you can get anything good value-wise for him, you trade him, but you're liking what you have.
I think Koku Crisp's issue has always been a combination of health and opportunity. So if he stays healthy, it could be one of those outlier seasons where he puts it all together. Next on the list is a guy that I had all over my boards in the preseason, but I never got him because even though I thought he could be a great sleeper this year, he was going a lot higher than I expected, and that's Ryan Howard.
Yeah, I'm selling that he's not hitting. I don't know. I think he's right about where he needs to be. I don't want to buy or sell. His average is back up to 286. I think he was hitting a good amount lower than that recently. The run production will probably still be there again. Hit 20 home runs. I think he'll be fine for where he was drafted.
All right, and the last guy on our buy or sell list is Starling Marte, who is stealing bags like I'm writing X's in permanent red marker next to the guru's name right now. Are you buying or selling Starling Marte?
He must have tons of stolen bases because I know you love those Sharpies. I'm buying it. I think he's good. He's a great athlete. He's going to steal 30, 40 bases, hit maybe 10 home runs. I think he might hit down to 270, but that's still going to be valuable, especially since he was a late-round pick.
So having you for back-to-back segments, JB, was like taking two big biscuits and filling it with pork gravy in between. I mean, if that's not, you know, a true Southern delight, the only thing I'm missing is some Vidalia onions and, you know, some shrimp and grits.
Throw a piece of fried chicken in the middle of that, and you got something going.
I'm really hungry. I really wanted to discuss lobster rolls from Maine with the guru, but so be it. JB, thanks again for filling in, and thanks again for talking the Pitching Report. We will talk to you soon, and also, again, don't forget, if you do play fantasy football, you definitely want to catch the rookie recap that we'll be doing on Wednesday, which we'll post on Thursday at razzball.com. You can follow my man, at JB Gilpin. Talk to you soon, Mr. Gilpin.
Talk to you later, man. Thanks for having me.
Razzball, the Razzball Podcast.
And it is a pleasure now to be joined by at Razzball, Gray Albright, and at Rudy Gamble, Mr. Rudy Gamble. Gentlemen, welcome to the Razzball Podcast. Thank you for showing up on time.
Yeah.
Wow, we set the bar low.
You know what? We had our first no-show today. I pulled out the red Sharpie. I've kind of gone nuts in the studio. Kyle's already told me I have to clean this all up. But the guru... I don't know what happened to the guru today.
The guru didn't show, huh? I gotta call him up. I swear to God, I will fucking cunt punt you.
You know what?
You have been fucking up.
You know what? All I gotta say is, I knew there couldn't be a guru from Maine.
Yeah, it had to be like a guru in sap or maybe like duck. What are those duck shoes that they sell at L.L. Bean?
If you're listening to this right now and say it to yourself, but OMG, Gray, I've been having so much fun with Razzball. Punch yourself in the face!
If you're an Algonquit right now, just open up your window and yell out and say, Guru, what happened? All right, listen, we're going to get to some fantasy baseball, but just really quickly first, Rudy, you've been doing really well in the Rudy from Razzball contest at DraftKings, which has now moved to Friday nights. But you haven't won yet, so people are actually technically kicking your ass and taking your money.
I know. I think I finished third in the first one, and I finished sixth in the third one.
And I'm, like, in the mid-teens.
I'm right on the cusp. I nailed my pitchers. I went with Lance Lynn and Castor on Friday night, thanks to Streaminator. Nailed them both. But I went with Mauer and Kinsler instead of Pedroia and
Annabelle
and David Ross.
Number one, right?
What's that?
I gotta think Annabelle is coming in for the number one team on Friday now.
No, I don't think anyone picked them.
Oh wow!
It's the dollar values are pretty close on pitchers, so I think it was real. Like there was only a couple pitchers who were picked on a number of teams. I think I was one of the few with Lance Lynn. Cashner was picked all over the place because he was cheap.
Right.
But, yeah, a lot of it comes down to just getting, you got to get all of them right, or at least most of them right. And I also, yeah, did a beginner move Yeah, I had Lorenzo Cain and the game got canceled. I didn't swap out quick enough.
And you can do that at DraftKings where you can't do that anywhere else.
Yeah, I think it was one of those where I thought, oh yeah, no, Kansas City's playing on the West Coast. That's why there's no stats. And then I'm like, I could have used another outfielder. It might have knocked me into the top three.
Well, it didn't, so that's your bad, and we'll see you next Friday when we'll take your money again.
It's my bad. I have to live with that.
All right, Mr. Albright.
Yo.
The Cougar's been texting me a lot lately.
She's all yours.
She says that you're way early a lot of the time. And to tie that into fantasy baseball, it seems like that's the case with Anibal Sanchez, who was your 2012 love affair. So I'm going to give you a moment, Gray, to just bask in the I told you so-ness of Anibal Sanchez's 17 strikeouts.
Yeah, I'm a man ahead of my time. I also said Dexter Fowler and Michael Bourne would hit for power about 4 years ago. You can search this fight.
Well, Fowler's been actually doing really well. We'll get to him in a little bit, so let's not go there yet. But Anibal has been fantastic.
Yeah. Well, he did strike out 17 guys. That's pretty good.
Well, through 8 innings.
Wow!
All right, are you done basking?
I think I have. I think I got Jake Peavy. Jake Peavy, I think, has 17 Ks through 3 games. So now he hasn't actually been that bad. Some of my pitching has been a little questionable at best. I think Rooney and I, in the RCL, our pitching hasn't looked bad.
Mine's on the upswing, man. My four starters were Cliff Lee, Felix Hernandez, Derek Holland, and Lance Lynn.
My streaming's
been mixed.
Why were you below me in ERA as of like 3 days ago?
The law firm of Mitchell Boggs. Yeah, my whip is like 1-2. I got this big ERA because Mitchell Boggs gave up like a 7 spot.
But you know what's interesting?
It's
how early it is in the season In the Razzball Champions League, which is all the RCL champions and me, I should be getting absolutely walloped, and I'm second. But in the Writers League, where it's all the goofballs minus you two, I'm in 9th. So, you know what's early.
Well, injuries could play a pretty big role right now, too.
Rudy, I want to stay on pitching for a moment with you because Matt Moore has been absolutely disgusting so far this season. Can he keep it up as a legit fantasy ace? And then just second to that, also I want your thoughts on Clay Buchholz.
Okay, I'll take that one. So
I hope so, because I directed it to you.
Oh, you didn't? I didn't hear Rudy.
He did address you, so yeah. Come on, Rudy.
Well, I figured you had Rudy, he's a Ray, and his last name's Moore. Wasn't Rudy Ray Moore like a famous rapper, actor?
Dolomite, wasn't it?
That's Dolomite. So it's made for me. Moore is the same guy that I think the preseason projections had him pegged as. He's a great K guy. I don't think he'll maintain 11 per 9, but I think he'll be over 9 per 9. So he's a premium K guy who doesn't have control yet. He had 4 walks per 9 last year. He still has 4 walks per 9. So the only thing that's different right now, that's disgusting, he's got like 100% strand rate. None of these walks are scoring. It's kind of unsustainable. So the bet is either he finds his control and doesn't lose the Ks, or those walks start coming in. I'd bet on the latter. So I think he's going to be, maybe a 3. He'll have a 3-ish ERA. That WHIP maybe comes in under 1.3. But he's valuable as a number two because he's going to give you 200 Ks, and he's pretty much so that pretty much amounts to lefty Scherzer.
Okay, now just give me 30 seconds on Buchholz, and then we'll get Gray's thoughts on those two guys.
Buchholz is a complete surprise. He was considered a good talent coming up, and he really hadn't shown much. He had that one great win season, but he hadn't shown K's before. He's showing it now. I mean, you have to take it into account. I think the expectations on him are greater now. I'm not, you know, like, so I would have said he's barely ownable in a 12 team. Now he's a must own, but probably at the fourth starter level. I do think he's maybe benefited from a weak schedule.
Okay, good stuff. Gray, did you have any comments on either of those two pitchers?
Not more. I liked a lot coming into the year. I think I had him like 15th overall. I think he's a 220K guy with like a 3.3 ERA. He's not a below 2 ERA, obviously. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Okay, great. I want to talk now, shift over to some hot hitters. Which one of these four guys, I'm going to get you to rank them for me, but are any of these guys A, going to crack the top 25 at the end of the season? And then also, please rank Chris Davis, Dexter Fowler, Chu, and Napoli.
Okay. So those four guys, the guys that I'm going over as well as ranking, or I'm just ranking them?
No, just rank them for me and then tell me which of those is most likely to crack the top 25 this year.
I feel like you're giving me A, B, yes, no questions. Are you trying to get me off? Are you playing me off? I'll say Napoli has no chance of being in the top 25. He has about 30 RBIs right now, so obviously he's not going to have 180 RBIs at the end of the year. Chris Davis could hit 35 homers, but probably won't hit above 275. Fowler has a good speed-power combo, and Chu as well. I like Chu the best. I'll say Chu, Fowler, Davis, Napoli.
Chu, Fowler, Davis, Napoli.
Yeah.
And any of them going to crack the top 25, Gray?
I like Chu to be in the top 25. I had him at 35 overall in the preseason. I could see him getting a little bit of a bump up. I like him a lot. I think he definitely has some platoon issues, as Rudy's waiting with bated breath to talk about.
I want to give you the opportunity, Gray. Did you want to expand on any of those four guys?
No. I expanded enough. Go ahead.
All right, Rudy, over to you. What do you think about those four guys? Can you rank them for me and then talk about Chu's platoon issues?
Yeah. I put Napoli on the bottom. I think Chu, Davis, Fowler, Napoli is a bet. I probably I'm a little closer to giving it to Davis over Chu, but yeah, I think I'd put Chu ahead of him. I think Chu's dodged one bullet so far in the Ludwig and Heisey injuries, because I had two concerns for him. One, he can't hit lefties very well, so he hurts you there. And seemingly the Reds have Heisey, who's a good righty hitter that could have played instead of him, so I thought Chu might lose some games. He's dodged that. The second thing is that Chu is not a good center fielder, and it's just a matter of how stubborn Baker is to keep putting him out there. But Heisey was probably their second best center fielder, or their best center fielder. He's injured right now. Hamilton isn't ready for the show. I do feel like it could be something as the season goes on. I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up a real center fielder, maybe a glove first guy. Even maybe like a Craig Gentry from Texas or something. And you saw Chu maybe play 85% of games sitting against most lefties.
Okay. That's interesting. Next guy I want to talk about, I'm going to throw to both of you guys. We'll start with Gray. Early season trendy sleeper, Anthony Rizzo. He's been producing counting stats, but I mean, he's been striking out like, you know, Jay Rong at an over 35-year-old single ladies convention. Is he going to be able to rein it in, or are we looking at free air conditioning on the north side all summer, Gray?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of finding, some balls hitting a few holes and him just not striking out maybe a tad less. I don't think he's less than a 250 hitter. It's just another early season thing. I wouldn't be too concerned about him hitting, you know, 210 or something.
Yeah, the one...
Because we're hearing demotion.
I'd say, Nick, the one thing I'd add on him is that I'd heard stuff that Swaim and the Cubs were had messed around with his swing from last year, trying to get him to hit more fly balls, which was going to lead to, you know, worse batting average with more power. If you've seen some of his homers, you know the guy's got crazy power. I think at some point either the new swing goes away and he goes back to the old swing, or he figures it out with the old swing. I don't think he'll maintain this K rate. I do see him kind of getting toward 270 as a hitter from the average side. And, yeah, the power is there. I hadn't really seen much video on him until this year, and he's hit a few bombs that makes me think he's got legit power.
And the Cubs being in the situation that they are, it makes more sense, I think, to let him figure it out in the majors than in Iowa.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to bring LeHair back from Japan for
Hey, let's talk about minor leaguers that just got called up. Gray, Arenado, do you like? Is he any more than a corner person?
Not in mixed leagues. I think he's around a 17 homer, 270 average guy. At this point, that also may be Moustakas, so he could be an upgrade over him. I wouldn't drop Moustakas yet. I would look to try and bench him while he struggles and get Nolan into the lineup. I think he's going to be a must-play in Coors in the summer, at the worst. I like to see what he can do with the playing time. Oh, there's upside, obviously. Hopefully he surprises, because I just grabbed him in the RCL. So I like to see 35 homers. Probably won't happen, but that's what I want.
All right, Rudy, what do you think about Arenado?
No, I mean, I'm on the same page as Gray in terms of his potential. He hasn't shown a lot of power in the minors yet, and he's hit in Coors-like environments. Basically, I think Colorado, AA and AAA, also is very positive hitting environments. So I think it's, 15-ish homers. He's way better in the field than Nelson was. So I feel like he's assured of playing time because they have no one else who could play a decent third base except maybe Herrera, and he's not a legit bat. I think he'll probably hit 300 in his Colorado starts. So yeah, love him for that. I'd hold him. I would have picked him up in 12-team RCL as well, and probably platooned him in when he was. At home.
Okay, good stuff. Listen, guys, what I want to do is do a quick, where would you take them if the season was starting today, redraft. I'm going to throw some names out at you. You're welcome to expand on them if you like, but it's also, you can just give me round and pick in the round where you might actually go out and grab some of these slow starters. Gray, let me start with the slow starters with you. Where are you taking Matt Kemp if you're drafting today for the rest of this year?
Middle of second round, same place I had him in the preseason.
Okay, what about Albert Pujols?
Pujols, I would drop to around the same as Kemp, probably around Batista's area, say like 17th overall.
And then what about Mr. Stanton?
Stan, I'd leave exactly where he is, around bottom of the top 10. He has plenty of time to hit 35 homers, as you saw this weekend.
All right, let me flip that same question to you, Rudy. Where are you taking Kemp?
I still have him in the middle of the first round.
Pujols?
Nothing's really changed on my feelings on Kemp. Pujols is probably the biggest mover. He's middle of second round. I'm taking guys like Longoria over him. That foot injury is worrisome.
And Stanton?
Keeping him where he was, which is about pick 10.
Okay, fair.
That the power is just so sick.
Yeah, it is. Great. What about these guys who probably weren't drafted? Well, one of them was, but give me an idea. You don't have to necessarily give me round here, but let's talk rest of season for Mark Reynolds, Gray.
Reynolds, probably around 180-ish overall now. I would maybe 150. I'd probably take the flyer on him over Moustakas at this point. I don't think he's necessarily going to give us anything close to like his career year in Arizona, but he's worth
flyer around 150 now.
What about Vernon Wells?
Vernon Wells, I'd probably put around 200 overall with like Jason Kubel types and Cody Ross types. He's still, I don't believe he's going to, I mean, he could hit, you know, three more homers this year, and I wouldn't be shocked. I don't trust him.
And what about Austin Jackson?
Jackson, probably around, maybe I'll move him up a little bit, say 45, 50 overall now. I think he has a legit shot at 115 runs in front of, you know, the two fatties in Detroit. And I think he could also chip in 12 homers and 20 steals.
And what about you, Rudy? What do you think about Reynolds?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I mean, I think there's a lot of his type out there. The corner infielder with plus power. I've been betting more on Chris Carter over him, just because Houston has less pieces. But you know, so I'd hold on to him right now in most formats, but I wouldn't trade a cent for him, and you know, I'd be prepared to drop him with, you know, 7 days of slumping and paying close attention to his playing time.
Vernon Wells?
Not a fan either. I'm not a big believer on his playing time. I like him against left-handed pitchers.
Austin Jackson?
Other than that, I don't think he's going to have real value. I think he's going to be a batty call throughout the season.
And what about Austin Jackson?
I like him a lot. I mean, we've got him in a couple leagues. Yeah, I think Gray was on. I think 100 plus runs. He's. I think only Trout is maybe a sure bet for 100 runs, and at this point, I'm not even sure they might be even. He's got decent power, decent speed.
All right.
You know, so I feel like he'll. I don't think he'll excel in any of the five categories except for runs, but he won't hurt you anywhere, which is what I like in a leadoff guy.
Last question for both you guys. Rudy.
Rudy, how about I ask Rudy a question?
Do it.
All right. Where are you taking Bryce Harper right now?
Fourth. I mean, could you really make a case for, so let's say you go Miggy, Trout, and Braun. I mean, I think you could even, you could say you could take Bryce Harper second. It's not ludicrous.
Rudy loves Bryce Harper.
Hey, so do I.
I'm so mad I could have got him in the second round of RCL with the right draft pick.
I hear you. What about Justin Upton?
I mean, I think now he's in that mix with McCutcheon and Kemp. I think those are crapshoots. I'm one of like the few experts or, you know, pundits that would actually say this. I don't know if Upton, Kemp, McCutcheon, who's going to really be better. Because I put them in the same category, if I had the same draft pick in two drafts, I might just pick differently. I don't care. I'll distribute the risk. There's more players I could root for and stuff. I don't like taking the all, you know, feeling like I've got to put all my eggs in a basket. So the key is that Upton went from a late first round guy with Stanton and maybe like a Bryce Harper at the time, and now he's kind of up for middle, and I'd probably take him above Votto and Fielder now.
Let me just ask you this really quickly.
You heard it from Rudy first. At Razzball, we just don't care.
Hey, let me just wrap this up, guys, but I want to ask you something first. Actually, it's not a question. It's more of a statement. I believe we are actually creating a wiki page right now for Razzball.com, which is fantastic because it really pulls us in to 2003. So I just want to applaud you guys for getting Jay Wrong to get us all wikied up.
We're actually, Nick, I think you misheard. We're going to do an FAQ page.
I thought it was a Wookie page.
Oh! Hey, gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Hey, and just a quick note, a quick programming note. Next week, we will be posting the podcast on Wednesday. So next week, we'll be posting on May the 7th on the Wednesday, just this one time for the podcast. And there you go, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you soon. Gentlemen, Gray and Rudy, have a great week.
See you guys at DraftKings on Friday.